Welcome to Basic Brewing Radio for Thursday, May 21st, 2009. I'm James Spencer. Here at Basic Brewing Radio, we're all about home brewing. This week, home brewer Alex Roberts joins me to go mobile. We look at applications and websites that you can use with your iPhone or web-enabled device to design your next brew, whether it's beside the brew pot or in the homebrew store. These sites and apps can help you out. If you're new to home brewing and would like to get into the hobby for the first time, check out our website, basicbrewing.com, where you can find archives of our audio and video podcasts and our DVDs to walk you through basic and more advanced brewing techniques. And you can follow me on Twitter, my username, basicbrewing, all one word. Also, you can find me on Facebook. My username there is basicbrewingjames. We also have a Basic Brewing radio and video page on Facebook. And if you become a fan of the show there, you'll be notified when I send out updates telling you that new shows are launched and such as that. Thanks again to everybody clicking on the Amazon.com associate link on our basicbrewing.com site. Whenever you think of Amazon, think of us and click on our associate link first. It won't cost you any extra, and you'll be helping us to bring you this show, and we appreciate your support. And while I'm self-promoting, we also have associate links for Brew Your Own magazine and the American Homebrewers Association on our site, too. We appreciate everybody who's doing everything to support us. I also want to thank everybody who took time and effort to participate in the Basic Brewing Radio Brew Your Own magazine collaborative experiment. We've received results from a dozen brewers across the country and around the world, and I think that's a great response. I don't know how many I was expecting, but I'm very happy with that number. And I'm also happy with the quality of the comments that came along with those submissions. So it should make for an interesting episode and an informative article in Brew Your Own. So thanks again, everybody who took part. I know that it, you know, it's not just like asking you to send an email of your, you know, your brewing disasters or whatever, although I do appreciate the effort to do that. This, you know, these guys actually went through the trouble of brewing a batch of beer or modifying their process to take part in our experiment. So I'm really, really grateful for you guys doing that. Chris Colby, Steve Wilkes, and I will get together this week to go over the results of the experiment and to taste my effort, my little wimpy wheat beer that I brewed for the experiment. And I'll be posting that show next week. And speaking of next week, that will be our last show before our annual June break. It's become a tradition for us to take the month of June off from posting both audio and video episodes. And that gives us time for family vacations, going to the National Homebrewers Conference, and just clearing out the cobwebs, basically. Doing a show every week on the audio side and, you know, hopefully a couple every month on the video side. It takes a lot of effort, so it's nice to have a little break. And I hope we will see. We won't be completely taking a break because we'll be working out in Oakland covering that conference, the Homebrewers Conference, and I hope to see you in Oakland for the conference next month. Steve and I are very excited about going there. It's less than a month away. I've been given the honor of moderating a couple of panels this year, one on mead and one on brewing troubleshooting. And both panels feature legendary brewers and mead makers, and it's an honor for me to be sitting up there with them. In fact, Jamil Zainashev was the one who emailed me and asked me if I would be interested, and I appreciate Jamil thinking of me, and I hope that that I can do a good job. I'm not an expert, but I'm just going to be directing the questions to the experts in those panels. Speaking of which, if you have questions on mead or troubleshooting your homebrew that you think would be good to ask the panel, please send them along. I'd be grateful if you send those to me. I'm also going to ask for input via Twitter, and I've asked that we have a microphone in the room for audience members to ask questions to the panels directly. So I'm trying to gather in input from everybody as much as possible to see what you guys are interested in hearing about. You can send those questions to james@basicbrewing.com or just use the contact form on basicbrewing.com. Please don't forget to tell us where you're from. I don't have any homebrewing legislation updates, but I do have one from Alabama, a beer-related one from Alabama. As of right now, when I'm recording this, the bill that would remove the 6% ABV limit on beer sold in Alabama is in front of the governor awaiting a signature. So members of the group Free the Hops are asking beer lovers in Alabama to contact the governor and ask for his support. You can find out more at freethehops.org. You can also follow their efforts on Twitter as well. And good luck to everybody down in Alabama. After hearing Chris Colby and me talk about corking Belgians last time, Jonathan from Tempe, Arizona, wrote in with this. I wanted to volunteer some personal experience with Belgian corks versus champagne corks. They are definitely not made of the same material and definitely of different sizes. Jonathan says champagne corks are far larger than Belgian corks. My homebrew club and I recently bottled some Belgian strong ale in 750s, and the only corks available were champagne corks. We were able to make them fit into the bottle. However, we had to completely saturate the corks themselves ahead of time, which is advisable for all corks, I believe, Jonathan says. And it took three people on the floor corker to actually manage to get it in because it was that tough. The other downside is that cramming them into Belgian bottles pretty much decimates the cork itself and makes it really difficult to get out. So far, we have had to chop the tops off, pull it up a little bit, chop it off, repeat, etc. Jonathan says it definitely took some fine-tuning to reposition the spacing to get the corks in correctly. A number of them were pushed in too far. I would suggest that the first time you do it, you switch back and forth between wine and beer to calibrate it using a couple of extra corks. Of course, I guess you could use champagne corks if you use champagne bottles. Jonathan says, a nifty trick for sanitizing the corks and saturating them is to get a huge plastic holder with a top, like a butter holder, and a smaller one of the same basic shape. Put an iodophore solution in the big vessel, put all the corks in, then place the smaller one on top of the corks and clamp the top of the bigger vessel down. This will force the corks to be submerged and soak up the solution. Pretty nifty invention my buddy Rob was using. Well, thanks, Jonathan. It's always good to hear from personal experience. I also want to thank Brad up in Pennsylvania for sharing the link on Hulu to the Saturday Night Live video about cork soaking, the one with Janet Jackson. It's a really good thing that I hadn't seen that before talking to Chris last week. Cork soaking. Kevin also, go to Hulu, look it up. Kevin also from Pennsylvania shares this regarding boilovers, a technique I think I got from Jeff Renner, legendary brewer and advocate of the classic American Pilsner, is to take a kitchen strainer and skim off the scum that floats or forms on the surface just before boiling commences. Kevin says, I strain it several times up to and even shortly after the boil commences. I keep a small bucket of water and rinse the strainer between uses. My understanding is that this material is composed of proteins that can cause haze problems later. My beers rarely have haze issues, but I've never done an experiment to see if it makes a difference. Thanks, Kevin. Somewhere Casey Letellier is smiling. Thanks for your note. He always skims the hot break there. Okay, let's move on to the meat of the matter this week. I had a couple of you write in to ask that we take a look at brewing-related iPhone apps. Well, not everybody has an iPhone, so I didn't think that it would be good to devote an entire episode to it. However, I got to thinking that other phones have access to the web, other devices even. And there are great, I mean, even my son's new little DS thingy that he bought has web access. It's crazy. And there are great resources out on the web that can be of benefit to us homebrewers. So I invited my buddy Alex Roberts, who has a BlackBerry phone, to help me evaluate things from both sides of the iPhone fence. Well, Alex Roberts, welcome to Basic Brewing Radio.
Good to be here.
Yeah, we've brewed together a couple times and worked together on projects, non-beer-related projects, and it's good to have you on the show.
Yeah, the beer is definitely the more fun of the project. The more satisfying, too, I would say.
Well, my idea was to try out these brewing applications and brewing websites in a real-life environment at your house while we were actually brewing. But for a number of reasons, that didn't work out between, you know, the hectic brew day and, you know, beer and and the fact that we got so many websites and applications to cover. We didn't think that we could actually give it a legitimate, thought-out review of these sites or overview, at least, of these sites and applications. So we have regathered
right
in the studio. So I appreciate your making time to come over and do that, and my allergies are kicking in this morning, so I apologize for my voice as it is.
Just don't tell the boss.
Let's start out. What I wanted to do was mobile, you know, mobile computing or mobile brewing calculating. And I initially thought, well, let's do, since I have an iPhone, let's review iPhone apps. But I thought, well, not everybody has an iPhone. But a lot of people have web-enabled devices. And what do you have?
I actually have the BlackBerry.
The BlackBerry, as I referred to it, the CrackBerry.
Right.
Now, what model do you have? Because there's the BlackBerry Storm, which is more iPhone-like, but you've got it kind of a different
I believe this one is the Curve. I'm not sure the exact model of it.
And we're not going to debate the merits of either of the actual platforms. What we're going to try to do is talk about how these sites work on these machines.
Right. Mine has the basic BlackBerry screen with the little keyboard and the trackball for navigation.
Okay. Now, in general, How did the websites perform on the device? Is this an experience that if you were, say, at somebody's house where your computer wasn't available, or if you're like in your garage brewing, would this be something that you could pull up and use comfortably?
Well, yeah, the three sites I concentrated on were TastyBrew.com, then the Knights of the Mashing Fork, which is KOTMF.com. And then we also looked at beertools.com. I did on my device. And I would say two of the three, which were Knights of the Mashing Fork and tastybrew.com, were very easy to use on the BlackBerry, and I would use them again.
Cool.
Beer Tools seemed to be more devoted to actually being viewed as in a web browser on a computer. It was nice and easy for that, but not real well on the phone.
So it's got a lot of functionality for your laptop, but maybe not in such a small format as the phone.
Right.
If you had an account on beertools.com could you pull up your recipes or is it something that you could kind of use in an emergency on the phone?
I'm not really sure. I didn't go too much into that.
Okay.
I did have a pre-existing account which I logged into, and that allowed me to input a recipe, and it has a real nice recipe calculator. But as far as use on the phone, it was my least favorite of the three.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's on the iPhone side, let's start out with something that's free.
All right,
which is a plus in its category already. This is called HB Calc, and you can find these on the application store. And it is probably the most kind of less polished, I guess, of the iPhone apps that I looked at. It starts out with it calls it the Home Brewery Calculator, and it's pretty much just a calculator.
Right.
You know, which is okay, although there is a calculator built into the iPhone, so it doesn't add too much value there. But then there's a button called Gravity, And the layout and functionality on this one is not as intuitive, in my opinion, as the other ones. It's kind of rough, not only in how it looks, but sort of how it works. But it's free, and you know it's worth a try. But in the gravity section, you can enter in your beginning gravity. I guess that's pre-boil. Your original gravity, and then your final gravity, and it will give you your ABV and your apparent attenuation. So that's helpful. But then in grain, you don't have the functionality of choosing your actual grain name, but you can enter in how many pounds and how many expected gravity points for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 grains. And then it'll give you your points expected. You can enter in your boil gravity and your boil volume. Then it'll give your efficiency. So that's handy. And then in mashing, it can give you, you can enter in your boil volume, your total grain, and your water retention and your mash thickness, and it'll give you, and you can enter in your target temperature, target mash temperature, and your grain temperature, and it will tell you how much strike water is needed and your strike water temperature, and then the sparge water that you need. So that's probably the most useful functionality of it. And then in settings, you can change it from bricks to original gravity, or a specific gravity, rather, and then change your other, your temperature and volume units. You can go from metric to American, which is handy as well. So that's basically it on that one. It's got some limited functionality, kind of rough, but it's free. And the good thing about downloading apps from the application store is that they can upgrade them. And, you know, a lot of these have been updated, and I believe this one has as well. So what's the first website that you want to go to?
Well, first one I'd like to do, we'll do tastybrew.com.
Okay.
That was one I think somebody tweeted to you. Is that correct?
Yeah, I tweeted out there on Twitter, of course, and asked folks what they use. And this is one of the ones that they sent in, tastybrew.com.
Correct. And I'll just go ahead and say I don't have the fast network on the phone, but what I did like about Tasty Brew is even with the slower network option, the page still loads really quickly. It comes up. It's not very cluttered at all. It's a fairly clear, easy-to-read page. From your main page, you have several options, but obviously the one we're concentrating on is the calculators.
Right.
So when you click calculators, from that point, as it loads, you basically come up with calculator options, which are you either can do your complete recipe calculator, you can do gravity and efficiency, you can do bitterness, kegging carbonation, bottle priming, mash infusion, and sparging. Those are your main options. Again, when that screen comes up, it's fairly easy to read. Your options are well differentiated, and it even gives you a brief description of what happens when you click each option.
Oh, that's good.
And if we go to the recipe calculator, again, this page is nice. It's uncluttered. It's really easy to use, even on the BlackBerry format.
And I'll pull it up on the Mac at the same time here, or the computer.
All right. This is an unbiased show, right?
This is why I have you on, Alex.
And then from there, the first thing you would enter is your beer judge style, basically profile. You'll say what beer you're shooting for. Mm-hmm. And then you enter your recipe type, and you can choose whether it's an extract, partial mash, or an all grain option. And then as you enter each grain input, you can also choose, are you mashing that grain, or are you steeping it, or are you putting it in as an extract? And so you have those options.
That's really handy, because some of these that I tried, I was actually in the homebrew store trying to formulate a recipe, and some of the apps that I had access to didn't have the extract option. It was just all grain.
Right.
So,
yeah, and that was another thing we mentioned yesterday. One thing we're looking at is, you know, you're standing in the store and something changes. I mean, they're out of a certain hop you looked for or something. How easy would it be to take out your phone and figure out what you need?
Right.
And that's another thing. I liked about this one, it has a separate bitterness calculator by itself. You don't have to go through your whole recipe. You put in the hops you want. Let's say they're out of the hop you were looking for. You go straight to the bitterness calculator and use that, and that's all you have to use at that point.
Right. Yeah, that's cool.
But, yeah, once you input all that, then it gives you a nice, you know, clear, distinct how your recipe compares to the beer judge style guidelines.
Oh, yeah.
And so it tells you, you know, is your original gravity where it falls within there, your final gravity, that et cetera.
Yeah, that's good. If you're trying to hit a certain style, it's handy to know if you're in the ballpark.
Right. The only con I saw so far of the recipe calculator was I didn't see a way to enter the yeast you're using.
Huh. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. But again, like I said, the other features on this, I really like the separate bitterness calculator being separate from the, you know, you don't have to enter your whole recipe.
Mm-hmm.
And the mash infusion calculator was basically simple and easy to use. It not only told you the temperature needed, but the volume of water necessary.
That's cool. So that one is, the formatting is good on the phone, and the functionality seems to work well.
Right.
And what I'm assuming is that, I mean, this may be more biased comment, but the formatting in the iPhone seems to be more friendly for these websites, in that you can kind of shrink it down and zoom in on it and such as that. So if it works on your phone, I'm assuming that it'll work on the iPhone as well.
Yes, I would think so.
Now, let's go to another iPhone application, speaking of iPhone. And this is another free one. This is SpargePal, and it is the free younger brother of BrewPal, which we'll get into in just a minute. And SpargePal is really simple. All it is it's a calculator to help you get your water for your all-grain batch. It's got a batch size that you enter, and your grain bill, how much pounds you have, your boil time, how much you expect to lose with your troob loss, which is interesting. This is the first that I've seen that. How much you expect to lose in your equipment. Say you've got a false bottom in your mash tun. So you can enter that in there. Your mash thickness as a proportion of quarts per pound, and I believe that you can change that to metric in the settings, your grain temperature, and then your target mash temperature, and then right there at the bottom, real simple, tells you how much, how many gallons of water you'll need your mash, what the temperature that is, and how much you'll need sparge water. So if you're doing I guess that works for either batch or fly sparging, you know what you need right there. It's real simple. That's basically all the functionality that you have, but it's free.
Right.
It's really easy, well laid out. This is also the calculator that is on brew365.com. So you could pull up brew365.com and use this one also on your web-enabled phone.
Okay.
So basically the same functionality and, you know, on the website.
Right.
And one interesting thing, you know, since we're talking about temperatures, we compared, I think we, in the brew session yesterday, we took five different applications and or websites and entered in our parameters, and we came up with, what, three different temperatures suggested for our strike water?
Right. Well, I think the majority were either 164 or 167.
That's right. And some were even taking into account the thermal mass of the cooler, you know, or the mash tun. But we found that the ones on the higher end were more accurate, so, which is usually a better way to go, because then you can always add cool water to bring your mash temperature down. But I thought that was interesting, that even with you know, all the scientific formulas and such like that, they still differ.
Right.
It's interesting that, you know, over the generations of brewing that's been done, with you would think that they'd be a little bit more close. So anyway, you want to go to the next website?
Yeah, we can talk about it. We already talked about it a little bit, but when you go to beertools.com and you look at their recipe calculator, the first thing you actually have to do is log in.
Mm-hmm.
So you would have to enter your username and your password while you're there,
now,
which
is
isn't.
That, now, does all the functionality, does it all cost something?
No. There is a free application. That's what you're actually logging in for. But they still want you to log into their website, and the register is free. So once you go into that, then you're free to use their recipe calculator. One thing we noticed yesterday, if you want to change your bitterness calculations to use some of the other formulas available other than their default formula, that is only available on, I think they call it the gold package, which is the, you know, the pay for package.
So if you want to switch from Daniels to Tinseth to whatever, you've got to pay for that.
Right. But one thing say is the beertools.com, their free recipe calculator, is probably the nicest one of the ones I looked at. Mm. And it does look well on the BlackBerry. Mm. I mean, it's a nice format, clear, easy to use, gives you multiple options. But really, that's it that's available on Beer Tools. It's the complete recipe calculator. It's not, they don't have the separate calculators like we talked about earlier where, you know, if you just want to see what is this hop's bitterness going to do to my overall bitterness if you're standing in the middle of a homebrew shop or something like that. And I didn't also see a mash calculator anywhere like that.
So limited functionality for free.
Right. Super nice recipe calculator, but as far as any standalone other calculators, there's not really any available.
And I'm assuming that if you have a username and password, then that they will save your recipes or have your own little recipe database in there so that you can go back to. So, you know, that's, again, some functionality that and there are standalone applications for Beer Tools for both Mac and PC, I think so. You know, a lot of times you get what you pay for.
Right.
And
if you're not paying, it's hard to complain.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mentioned BrewPal, which is the bigger brother of Beer SpargePal.
Right.
And BrewPal is a whole 99 cents on the application store. So I don't know.
I don't know. Buy a song or I could buy BrewPal.
Can you even buy a song anymore? They changed the amounts.
Oh, that's right.
But it's hard to complain about anything for a buck.
Right.
This is a pretty darn mature application. I mean, it is more like Beer Tools or Beer Alchemy, which is a standalone for the Mac, or Pro Mash, or what's the one that you use?
Beer Smith.
So it is designed to be a full application, so that you can enter in your recipe, the grains. And if you click add a grain, it's got a database of lots of grains, malts, and specialty grains, and like honey, you can see. That's a type of grain there in that instance. But one thing that it didn't have was extracts, and I couldn't figure out how to do an extract brew with that. So that was interesting. But you can add in how many pounds that you've got. And on that page, it will give a color estimation of what you're shooting for, and your estimated original gravity and final gravity and ABV right there. And then on another page, it's got a database of hops that you can find and enter in there, and you can modify the alpha acid percentages easily. And then it will give you an estimated IBU, which is cool. One thing that I couldn't find on here, I believe, is how to change how that's estimated, how the IBUs are estimated. So
right.
If you're using a different formula than what they are, that may be an issue. Then you can pick your yeast and enter that into. And then it's got a built-in, if you're using a hydrometer or a refractometer, you can set your original gravity. And then on the refractometer, what was interesting is it has built in a gravity correction formula, so that you can take your your hydrometer or your refractometer reading after fermentation, click the little button, and it will make the corrections for you, I'm assuming.
Nice, because you and I talked about that a few weeks ago, mm-hmm. and I did a search online, and there were multiple fairly complicated spreadsheets to do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, but this just looks like enter it in one spot, and it does it for you, huh?
Yeah. And then it's got a more button, which has a lot of different features. Fermentation results, which talks about apparent extract, real extract, apparent attenuation, real attenuation, ABV, alcohol by weight, calories, efficiency, yada, yada. It also has a load and save feature and an export feature where you can save your recipe and then allegedly reload that back in at a later date, and then you can export that recipe to an email address that you set up. But I've have had trouble making that functionality work.
Right.
it will keep the current recipe, the latest recipe that you're working on, in there so that if you close out the application, you bring it back in, it's there, which is real handy. It doesn't seem to remember older recipes. It's got a mash calculator, separate again, and it also has a first rest, a second rest, and a third rest, so you can figure out how much water you'll need for each of those, which is handy. It's got a carbonation calculator as well, and it has one interesting thing is it has a styles button, and what it does, I entered in a recipe from yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and it shows you, instead of giving you a choice of what you're shooting for, it shows you what your what the styles that are in the database are closest to what your recipe.
Hey, and that IPA is what we were going
that's
for.
Right.
So
that's right.
That's a good look. At least it's not saying a chocolate stout of some sort.
and you can adjust the sensitivity of the selection. So we can turn the sensitivity down, maybe.
Hmm.
Oh, see there, and then my Bock for an extra stout, an English IPA popped up. So I guess you can be more or less strict with what you're looking for, which is very cool. It's got a color swatch page where you can pull up a swatch of color and compare your beer with it. It's got the flavor wheel.
All of this for 99 cents.
All this for 99 cents. And then... It also talks about boil additions and timers. It's also got a timer. Although I set the timer for the boil yesterday and it didn't alert us when it was time to quit. So maybe I don't know how to use that yet. So it is a fairly robust kind of complete standalone application for 99 cents.
All right.
So what can parts of it don't work, but they have updated it several times, and maybe they'll be listening to this, or maybe I'll shoot them an email and ask them, why those functionalities don't work. But I'm pretty impressed with it, and it's good to look, it's pretty to look at, too.
Right.
Which, as an Apple user, that's all important to me. So, you've got another website that I've depended on for a long time and recommended to people as well.
Right. Yeah, you actually did recommend this one to me as well. It's Knights of the Mashing Fork. The website is kotmf.com. And from there, we're looking at that again on the BlackBerry. You can go to their tools page, and you have options for recipe calculators, random recipe idea generator.
Which is kind of a fun
right.
thing.
Attenuation, specific gravity, bitterness, balance calculator, which was a unique feature to them.
Mm.
Basically, the way they describe it is the calculator uses a, quote, balance value to determine how many IBUs to add to your beer in order to reach a certain balance between bitterness and maltiness. So that was one unique feature to them that I hadn't seen on any other sites.
Mm-hmm.
They also had a hydrometer temperature correction tool mm-hmm. on there, as well as they have the keg carbonation calculator, the priming sugar calculator, as well as mashing calculators. And then they had two that we kind of ran into a need for yesterday with a volume conversion and a weight conversion.
Yeah, because you got the 3 liter bottles of
3 liter, 5.4 ounces, I believe, was their exact dimension. But overall, again, this website loads fairly quickly on the BlackBerry. It's relatively uncluttered. There's not a lot of advertising thrown around. Basically, you can go straight where you want. It's all free. The only negative I saw to it, when you go and look for your recipe calculator, it brings up basically a database of already input recipes, but I didn't see a way, obviously, on this screen to input your own recipe into it.
I see.
But what was super nice about it, again, like we talked about, was the separate IBU calculator and then the mash calculator. Mm-hmm. And as far as your sparge water or your strike water temperature, when you input that in, it comes up with a nice little pop-up window that says your temperature should be this. Mm-hmm. The only negative is it doesn't tell you a volume based on the weight of grains you're using. So you would have to know your volume or predetermine that with another calculator. But what's really nice is the separate pop-up window that says, hey, this is the temperature you need. Mm-hmm.
Well, what it does do is it asks you, it's got three fields in the strike water or strike temperature calculator. It's got your mash thickness, your desired strike temperature, and the temperature of your grain. And you can choose American or metric, so you can go back and forth. So using those three simple parameters, you can come up with what strike water temperature you need. So, I mean, if you're going to know your mash thickness, I mean, that's one thing that you're probably going to know. If you're going to calculate, I've got 10 pounds of grain, you know, I'm going to be mashing at 1.25 quarts per pound or however many liters per kilogram or whatever. So you're going to know that ratio probably. So very simple to enter that in there. And on the same page, it's got a rest calculator.
Yeah, that's the one we used yesterday, I believe.
Yeah, to get our mash out temperature. So, you know, it's got the weight of, there it asks for your weight of grains, the mash thickness, the current mash temp, and then what you want to get to. And it calculates that. And this is a really handy feature here.
Right, yeah.
There's a little calculator called Can I Mash It? Because I've gotten emails from people before saying, I've got a 5 gallon mash tun. How much, you know, how big of a mash can I actually make in there? And I just send them the link.
I think one of those emails might have came from me at some point, James. But, yeah, I mean, like we're talking about standing in the homebrew shop, you're thinking, hey, am I kind of overdoing it with this recipe? Mm-hmm. I mean, you find out right there pretty easily.
You put the weight of grains and your mash thickness, and you hit calculate, and it comes up with, you know, how much volume you're going to have to need in your mash tun. Like, for instance, by default, it says 10 pounds of grain, 1.25 mash thickness, and the little pop-up thing says this mash will take up 3.93 gallons of space. And you can change from American to metric, so that's useful. Whichever side of the world that you're on. The Knights of the Mashing Fork, I use it a lot. And this is one of the calculators that was correct in calculating our strike water temperature. So
right, so this one gave us the slightly higher temperature.
That's right. Which was the right one. So they get credit for that as well. And a couple more. There's an application from Steve Flack, I believe, is the author of Brew Alchemy or Beer Alchemy for the Mac. And he's come up with an application called Brew Math. Now, this is it doesn't have the functionality of Beer Alchemy, the whole functionality of the program.
Yeah. Is it a free application?
It is not free. In fact, it is the most expensive. It is $4.99, which still, for a computer application that does a lot of stuff, $5.
Right.
I mean, that's the bargain bin at Best Buy. Mm-hmm. You know, give us a break. It is not. It doesn't have the same functionality as Beer Alchemy, but I've actually corresponded back and forth with Steve on the application, And he said that he is working on a more full-functioned application. And one of the stumbling points that he's trying to do is he's trying to link, have a connection, maybe a syncing point between the full application and on the Mac and a full application on the iPhone. So I don't know if he's still working on that. So there may be more coming from Steve. But Brewmath is essentially just a collection of calculators, which if you're doing some quick calculations beside the Brewpot is a pretty handy thing to do. And you've got units, which will give you, and this would have come in handy yesterday as well, if you enter in a unit of measurement, it'll tell you, like, for instance, on weights. It has grams, kilograms, ounces, and pounds. So if you, like, enter in how many, 10 pounds, it will tell you that that's 4,536 grams and, of course, 4.536 kilograms. Isn't that handy how that works? It's really – you being an engineer will be familiar with how user-friendly the metric system is.
Right.
But it also has MASH calculators. Now, this takes a different approach. The strike water temperature, for instance, it asks you for the, and you can change back and forth between American and metric, but it asks you for your grist weight in pounds, your liquor volume in U.S. gallons, and I wish that was quarts, because now that's another calculation that I've got to do to figure out, how many gallons my 16 quarts is or whatever, which that's easy. But that's a bad example. but then you get your room temperature and your target temperature. And then it also figures in your ton mass. So you have to figure, and you find that there's a default, but you kind of find that by trial and error of how much how much thermal mass your mash tun has. That's real handy. The one thing that I don't like about this application is you take all the time to fill all these fields, and then if you, want to go to another calculator, you hit the back button, and then when you come back into that, it forgets what you've input. So, you got to take notes or you got to remember that the next time you do that. So, it would be nice to turn that on or turn that off, depending on your preference. It also has a beer color section in here where it has a slider at the bottom of the screen. And as you slide the slider to the left, it gets lighter. And as you slide it to the right, it gets darker, of course. So what you could do is theoretically hold your iPhone up next to a beer and kind of slide the slider, my Budweiser Light and Bud Light is about that color. And it gives you the color in SRM and EBC. So that's an interesting function as well. It's got a bitterness calculator. Now, I really like this part. You can enter in the alpha acid, the weight, the time, the volume of your beer, and the gravity. And it's got right there buttons on the top where you can switch back and forth between Tinzeth, Daniels, Rager, and Garrett's right there on the page.
And you can really see how the four compare to each other as far as the predicted bitterness.
Right. Now, the only problem I have with it is that you only do one hop addition at a time. So if you have, a second hop addition, you basically have to enter in all the fields again, take that down as a note, and then for your third hop addition, you have to enter it in again, take it as a note. So, again, that functionality could be a bit better. It's also got a carbonation calculator, attenuation, specific gravity correction, which is really handy. I've used that a bunch. Refractometer. If you have a refractometer and you know the bricks of the wort, you can find out what the specific gravity is really quickly. Very handy. Pitching rates, which is a very nice feature. So you can pick your type of yeast and whether it's an ale or a lager and your original gravity and your volume, and it'll tell you how much yeast that you'll need. It's also got nutrition, which I don't so much
do. You don't want to look at that.
Yeah, you don't want to see how many calories your beer actually has. And then an evaporation and dilution calculator as well. So if you want, you know, just a set of calculators, you know, Brewmath may be for you. But the functionality may not be what it could be, and Steve may be working on that. And the price, compared to 99 cents, is more expensive, but still cheap, $5.
Right.
I mean, what do you, you know, you spend that on a cup of coffee or half a beer. So again, a good effort and one that you might want to check out. And one last site that I want to go to that I didn't send you or we didn't talk about is pint.com.au. It's an Australian site. It has some brewing calculators as well. It's got alcohol and attenuation, hop substitution guide and calculator, which is you were talking about standing in the homebrew store, and you know if they don't have the hops that you want, that would be a handy one to do. And then it's got a mash strike water temperature calculator as well. The one knock that I would have on that is that it didn't have the ability to switch back and forth between metric and, you know, the crazy American standard. So, you know, that's one thing that, you know, we're guilty of talking in the American weights and measures too much. But it would be nice to switch back and forth with the application.
Right.
But the hop substitution guide, you can, if you know what hops you have in your recipe, then you can, you know, for instance, it says, you know, you enter in the hop that you would like to find a substitute for. It has some suggestions there, and replacement hop amount calculator for bittering hops, also very helpful there. So check out pint.com.au, especially if you're metrically inclined. And it looks like it's formatted simply enough that it would work on either device well. So what else have we got? Is that it?
I think so. That's the ones I've looked at and the ones we used yesterday quite a bit. All I got to say is you better not lay that iPhone down around me too much anymore, James.
This is not a discussion between the formats. And the new one, what is it, the BlackBerry Storm? Is that what they call the new one? It's more iPhone.
Touchscreen type,
yeah,
I believe.
It's more iPhone-esque,
right,
and we didn't have one of those to try out, so it may be... The formatting, web formatting, may just be just as good on that one as well. But I think that your mobile device, whether it's an iPhone or another web-enabled phone, can be a useful tool around the brew pot or in the homebrew store, or if you're just, you know, out in the airport, you know, formulating recipes in your head and waiting for a flight. I think that there's some good stuff out there.
All right. Yeah, just go to these websites, see what you think about them on your specific device, bookmark them, and have them ready to use.
And I'm sure there are lots of others out there that we didn't know about or didn't get to. But send them to me, and I'll mention them in the next show. But Alex, I appreciate your coming over and spending time, and I appreciate your hospitality yesterday. It was a fun time.
Yeah, it was very enjoyable. I'm glad you came over, James.
Awesome. Thanks. Well, thanks again to Alex. Alex has been doing some small batch all-grain brewing lately while he's assembling a full-scale all-grain setup. His beers are terrific, especially a pale ale that I had this past weekend. It was wonderful. Alex is also heading to Belgium soon, so I can't wait to hear how his trip goes, and I'm hoping that he'll be bringing back some treasures, and I'm hoping that he'll be in the mood to share those when he gets back. I'm jealous. Remember, we've got we've still got a handful of brewer's logbooks, and we've got our new Basic Winemaking Introduction to Wine Kits DVD out there on our online store.
And if you have any brewing questions, show suggestions, or just want to say howdy, write to james@basicbrewing.com, or just fill out the contact form on basicbrewing.com, and please don't forget to tell us where you're from. If you have any links to cork soaking videos that you want to send, check out our low-tech lagering and decoction mashing DVD on basicbrewingshop.com, where you can see Steve do a single-step decoction mash and follow me through a lager fermentation in the middle of summer. Summer's coming up, where I don't use a dedicated chest freezer. There also are original DVDs, Introduction to Extract Home Brewing and Stepping into All Grain. We've got combo deals on our site if you want to save a couple of bucks. And you can see a listing of the fine folks across the country who sell our DVDs on basicbrewing.com. And if there isn't a vendor in your area, you can order it online in our online shop at basicbrewingshop.com. We got shirts of different colors. I want to thank everybody who's continued to click on our Amazon.com link. We appreciate the support there. Our featured products this week that were purchased through the link are Does My Butt Look Big in This Beer? Nutritional Values of 2,000 Worldwide Beers. And Preserving Food Without Freezing or Canning. Traditional techniques using salt, oil, sugar, alcohol, vinegar, drying, cold storage, and lactic ferment. That sounds like a cool book. Although, if the title were any longer, you wouldn't need the book, I think. Thanks again, everybody. And remember, I can't tell who bought what, so no worries there. Just click on the Amazon.com logo on our site the next time you feel like Amazon shopping. We appreciate your support. And also, don't forget, you can join the American Homebrewers Association through an associate link on basicbrewing.com now, along with the Brew Your Own magazine link as well. So you'll be supporting us and them, too. That's all until next week. Until then, thanks for listening. I'm James Spencer. Production help for Basic Brewing Radio and our website is provided by Kelly Dodson. Basic Brewing Radio is a production of Active Voicing. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. So long.